Stories have a way of connecting people across many miles or within an arm's length. Whether it is a story written by a published author, a screenwriter, or a story shared by a person in a conversation, the connections made can be deep, life-changing, and powerful. In the story of Rose's Garden that I read this morning, Rose received hundreds of paper flowers and their accompanying stories. When she looked around her, she knew she was home because stories and flowers and people they represented surrounded her. When I first read this book, I was touched by the idea that the people represented by the flowers and stories embraced her in her new city, and she was home. I connected with that feeling because... Hold on. The hymn got me. It's not this, I promise. I connected with that feeling because I knew I was home when, after arriving in a new city, my husband Paul and I came to this congregation for the first time and found ourselves surrounded by stories of humor, a minister in a jester's hat, and the welcoming smile and shared story of Elaine Durbin. I've never met Peter Reynolds, the author of Rose's Garden, but he reached across time and miles with his story and connected with me. How did this story connect with you? It might help you to know that Peter Reynolds wrote this story in honor of Rose Kennedy and Boston's Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy Greenway, a series of parks and gardens amidst the big city hustle and bustle. I love stories and the power they have to entertain, educate, and connect us to each other. I revel in books, movies, even television shows that catch me and take me to another reality or a place I've never been. One of my greatest joys has been reading out loud to children and the young at heart over the years, whether it's been here at church, at schools, or with my children at home. Our family always brings along some engaging, involved audio novel for road trips. We listen and watch the scenery go by and have been known to stop the tape or the CD and talk about what just happened, processing it together and listening to each other's perspective. At meal stops or other necessary breaks, we immediately launch into discussing the story. Or sometimes we are quiet, going over what we've just heard in our own heads before someone else shares their feelings and breaks into our own reveries. The power of a good storyteller is immense. J.K. Rowling and her Harry Potter series swept my whole family away for weeks at a time while we were attending Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry and learned to be wizards and fly broomsticks. Movies in movie theaters can be all-encompassing experiences when the stories are good and the actors and editors are talented. The big screen and big sound surround you, and the story engages you like no other venue. In a way, you're trapped for those 2 hours in the imagination of some creative people, and you just need to let go and enjoy the ride. You know it's been a good story if it comes back to you over the next few days and makes you think about a plot twist or an intriguing ending. The characters and storyline visit you when you least expect it. Some line or verse pops into your head and your hour or your day goes in a completely new direction, or at least with some new company. You can't help but tell your friends about it and urge them to go see it so that you can talk about it with them without giving anything away. My son Andrew and I have talked about how the total experience of movies can be overwhelming in a good way and how powerful they are. We have both experienced joy and frustration when coming out of a movie because we loved the story and were caught up in the experience and wanted to be able to do what the characters did in the movie, sail the seas as pirates or fly to another planet. But that just isn't possible. While you can be anonymous in the dark environment of a movie theater, your living room or den is another story. It's a group experience out in the community in a theater. But when you turn your television on, you're inviting those characters and stories right into your own home. The effect of stories in that case can be more intimate and more comfortable. If there's an overwhelming scene, you can leave the room and come back when things calm down. And Sam will attest that I've done that many times. And now, with TiVo and digital video recorders built right into your television, you can pause any program or movie and take a break. I have mixed feelings about that. I enjoy the option of not missing anything when nature calls, but sometimes it's good to be held captive by the narrative and lose yourself in the story. While preparing for this Sunday, I kept thinking of an article I'd read in the UU World Fall 2010 edition. The article by Meg Barnhouse is titled Broken Buddha. There was something in the article that called to me. I found our copy and I reread it. Within the first two paragraphs, she begins to tell of a time when she was a young mother of two, juggling a therapy practice, mothering, and being a writer, all with a husband who was gone a lot. When asked by another person when asked by another parent how she was enjoying being a mother, she replied, "I love it. I mean, I'm tired of changing diapers, but the rest is great." As she says, it's the kind of thing parents say to one another to make the connection of telling the truth about one's life. She goes on to say, "Most people would touch your arm with a warm smile, full of understanding that your hearts would beat together for a moment, leaving both of you strengthened." In that one sentence, she painted a picture, reached across the miles, and grabbed my heart. My eyes welled up. I knew that she knew how I'd felt. I could see countless faces of people who had reached out to me and our hearts had beat together, leaving us both strengthened. Not only did that story connect me to the author, but it connected me again to those dear souls who had shared a moment and a heartbeat. The young Meg Barnhouse had reached out and told just a bit of her story to someone in her life because she knew that a true connection with another parent would make the journey easier because it was shared, even if for a brief moment. Telling the truth about one's life or sharing your story with others connects us at a deep level, and we are stronger together for sharing our stories. The sharing of stories requires both parties to be in the moment, listen deeply, and give the gift of attention to another. In the course of our hectic lives, as we run from one task to another, always thinking about the next thing we have to do or the next appointment that we're already late for, we miss out on the opportunity to be in community with others. What a gift you give to yourself and others when you slow down, sit, or stand with another human being and share each other's story. And it doesn't count if you're thinking about what you're going to say while they're speaking. Give them the gift of attention while you give yourself the gift of a moment's peace. As you heard in the reading, you will find that your fellow pilgrims are not robbers, pirates, and thieves, although that would be a really interesting story. But they are the deepest friends, most intimate souls. This sharing doesn't have to be knee-to-knee, staring intently into each other's eyes. There doesn't even need to be constant conversation. Some of the strongest connections are made in the silences between the words or phrases while just sitting quietly with another person when mere presence is what's needed. As the author of the reading also says, standing fully in the presence of another true Messiah. Okay, I would like to do something a little bit different and do an exercise about shared stories. So, I've already talked to, I think, three people. Jay, would you come up? And Joe, no, wait a minute, I only need Jay. Sam and Robin, and who else did I talk to? Joe, come on up. I need you guys to be human easels. Okay. Jay is holding up a flower of beautiful poppies. Robin has Charles Darwin, whose birthday, by the way, is the same as Abraham Lincoln's, and who this remarkably looks like Costin Frederick. I'm sorry, I see that every time. Sam is holding up a wonderful piece of art done by Miriam Waito and our children in the religious education an exploration program, and Joe is holding up the Spirit Warrior, which is appropriate for Joe to be holding that. So, what I'd like you to do is take a few brief moments, look at the four pictures, and see which one, where you are right now, which one you connect with, which one speaks to you. Got it? Okay. Now, this is our exercise in shared story. Because these pictures, or illustrations or beautiful paintings, connect somehow with you at this moment, you are going to sing a very familiar song, so you don't have to remember, you don't have to learn the words, you already know them. And we're going to sing it together. Now, obviously, if the person next to you connects with Darwin, and you connected with Dancing Light and Children, then you guys are going to be singing it at different times. What I want you to do, we're going to sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. No surprises. If you don't know it, I'm sorry. It'll come. It's very easy. And what we're going to do, just like we've always done since we were, I can't make assumptions just because some of us have sung it since we were tiny and know the rhyme and all this stuff. What I want you to do is sing it when I tell you, and I'll explain that in a second. But we're going to sing it enough so that you hear it over and over. And what I want you to start doing is keep singing, but start listening to the whole room. Because everybody's going to be singing it. It's, in other words, that group isn't going to be singing one version of, you know what I'm saying? It's all going to be all over. I'm talking too much. Okay. So, I'm going to call J1, Robin 2, Sam 3, and Joe 4. All right? When I hold up my fingers, you start singing. So if you connect with that picture, you're going to start singing first. And Carrie is going to give us a note. Okay. Now remember, it's row, row, row your boat gently downstream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Now you know it. Okay. So, you ready? Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily, is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Row, row your boat gently down the stream. Gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. I don't know if you guys heard it, but I heard it. That was cool. So, thank you, Human Easels. Can I have my things back? Your individual story, among many individual stories, all sung together, made it stronger and more than just a simple song. That was cool. Thank you very much. Stories shared evoke memories and feelings. They help to find the connection with others through common experiences, beliefs, and emotions, common ground. True connections happen when people share genuinely and listen deeply. Your gift is to engage, pay attention, and be with the other person. to borrow from our children's chalice lighting words, listen with an open heart and an open mind.